Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. As we are done, that what is the objective of choosing the path of suluk, tasawwuf, treading the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? And as it mentioned over here, that the objective was that a person, he attains the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And together with this, he gets nisbat-e-batini, that inner connection with Allah ta'ala. What this means, that a person, he has a special love, special ta'alluq with Allah. When a person has a special ta'alluq, this love for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then what is the condition of the person? Jisse har hal Allah ta'ala ki yaad, aur iska hazir wa nazir hone ki wijdan ki wajah se, apni har harkat aur sukoon mein, iski raza ka lihaz rakhna. That in every condition, a person, he remembers Allah Ta'ala, he is conscious of the presence of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When a person has got ta'alluq with Allah, then in every condition, he will always remember Allah Ta'ala. And he is conscious of the presence of Allah Ta'ala. And in every movement of his, apni har harkat aur sukoon, in every movement of his, he is only worried of the pleasure of Allah. My Allah must be happy with me. When this nisbat comes, so when a person has got ta'alluq with Allah, he's got nisbat with Allah, that special connection with Allah, he always thinks of Allah, he is conscious of Allah, and in every movement of his, my Allah must be happy with me. This is what is in the mind of a person. Many a time we've seen this also, that when people come with their queries, they come to the iftar, for example, there's some case or there's some dispute, and then sometimes the ruling is given. Then the one party in whose favor sometimes the ruling is given, then while just talking, you say, now I'm sure you're happy now, everything has been sorted out. So many a time they turn around and they tell us, Allah must be happy. That is the biggest thing. Allah Ta'ala must be happy. And Quran also says, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, that the greatest thing is to make Allah Ta'ala happy. The happiness of Allah Ta'ala, this is the greatest thing. In that poem that we read in the zikr, where he says, هِنَا رَازْجِي جِسْكِ دُوزَخْ سَ بَرْكَ, that this pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, this is worse than the fire of Jahannam also. Worse than Jahannam. Usi zaat ki bas rida maangta ho. I am asking for the happiness of that Allah, whose displeasure is even worse than the fire of Jahannam. For a moment to break the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is dangerous. Allah ta'ala save us. And this making Allah ta'ala happy, this is only in dunya. In this dunya, for a person living for 60 years, 70 years, and today majority of the people that are passing away are youngsters. 30 years, 40 years. One heart attack at the age of 40 and a person is gone. So just for the 30, 40 years, how many years of that person's life has already gone in childhood? And now he's just spent that 20, 25 years and he is gone. And that too, if he makes it to 40, people can go before that also. So you have to make Allah Ta'ala happy for that short period of time. And in return, when we will leave this dunya, now Allah will ask us the question. When the Jannatis will enter into Jannat, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will ask them at that time, Hal raditum? O my bandas, are you happy now? Yeah, we make Allah happy. There Allah will ask us, are you happy now? So the Jannatis will say, وَمَا لَنَا لَا نَرْضَى يَا رَبُّ وَقَدْ أَعْطَيْتَنَا مَا لَمْ تُعْطِ أَحَدًا مِّنْ خَلْقِكَ. What is the matter with Allah? What is wrong with us that we cannot be happy with you? You have given us what you haven't given any one of your creation. What ni'mat of Allah? What ni'mat of Jannat Allah Ta'ala will give a person? مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرْ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. The eye hasn't seen, the ear hasn't heard of, the thought hasn't passed through the mind of a person as yet. We cannot even contemplate what the ni'mat of Jannat are. So Allah Ta'ala will ask the Jannatis, أَلَا أُعْطِيتُمْ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Should I not give you something that is better than that, O my bandas? Oh my servants, must I not give you something better than it? All these ni'mat of Jannat are in its place. Don't worry about this. Mustn't I give you something that is better than all these ni'mat of Jannat? So at that time the Jannat is fayaqulun. They will tell Allah Ta'ala, وَأَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. That what is there that can be better than these ni'mat of Jannat that we are enjoying? A man sitting there, he desires the fruit. He doesn't have to get up to even walk to fetch it. It will come to him. And when you finish eating, then it is replaced already. Another one takes its place. He sees a fish, and he wants to eat it baked. He wants to eat half baked, and half curry. Exactly how that desire came in his heart, immediately half will be baked, half will be curry. He sees a bird, he wants it roasted, that will be roasted before him. Now, Jannati will ask, can there be anything better than this? So at that time, Allah Ta'ala will say, أُحِلُّ لَكُمْ رِضْوَانِي فَلَا أَسْخَطُ عَلَيْكُمْ بَعْدَهُ أَبَدًا. That I have made my pleasure now permissible for you. And after this, I'll never ever be displeased with you, O my Banda. That's the greatest thing, the happiness of Allah, the pleasure of Allah. So perpetual happiness a person will get now in Jannat. Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with that person. So in this dunya, we just make Allah Ta'ala happy for that short time. And there, Allah will give us His perpetual happiness. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, we're all in need of it. Myself, I need it most. So Allah, we make Allah Ta'ala happy, Allah Ta'ala give us that tawfiq. And a person that is connected to Allah, ulama explained that, what is the condition of Allah Ta'ala? كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَانٍ. Allah Ta'ala, every moment, fi kulli waqtin min al awqat, every moment, Allah is in a different splendor. Some way Allah Ta'ala is giving somebody izzat. And some way Allah Ta'ala is giving somebody disgrace and dishonor. One moment Allah Ta'ala is making somebody rich. And one moment Allah Ta'ala is making somebody poor. One moment Allah Ta'ala is giving somebody health. And one moment Allah Ta'ala is giving somebody sickness. So every moment Allah Ta'ala is in a different splendor. Somewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that country there's peace. Somewhere Allah tabarakhu wa ta'ala brings riots in a country. All this is happening every moment. So that person that is connected to Allah Ta'ala, who is in a different splendor every moment, it is mentioned that person also, this quality comes into him, because he's connected to Allah. Which our Hazrat explains, he says, kabhi ta'ato ka surur hai, kabhi i'tiraf hai khusur hai. That sometimes a person is in the obedience of Allah. Ta'ato ka surur hai. And he is happy in that obedience of Allah. He is reading Quran Sharif. He is getting such enjoyment in that Quran Sharif. Such enjoyment, he doesn't want to stop. Somebody comes to see him also, he got no time for that person. Why is he getting so much of enjoyment in here? Or when he's making dua now, and at that time those tears are coming out, what connection and what enjoyment he's got with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala at that time of dua. That somebody comes, it's now steady time coming to an end or whatever, that come, let's go quickly and eat. So somebody is waiting there next to him also. He can't be bothered, because that enjoyment that he's getting in that dua, in that connection with Allah ta'ala. So kabhi ta'ato ka surur hai, kabhi i'tiraf hai qusur hai. And sometime a person is crying, confessing that, oh Allah, what gunas have I committed in my life? What wrong have I done in my life? The tears are pouring, he's crying before Allah Ta'ala. Why? That connection with Allah is there. So when that connection with Allah Ta'ala is there, sometimes he's happy in the ibadah of Allah, sometimes he's crying before Allah Ta'ala. وَقُرُبْ جَوْ مَلَكُ نَهِي خَبَرْ وَقُرْبْ حُزُورْ مَيْرَا حُزُورْ. And that closeness with the malaika haven't even reached. This is the closeness this person has got with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When he is connected to Allah, this is that closeness. That if a person, mana ke mir, gulshan e jannat to abhi dur hai. They says, yes sir, we agree, we accept that the gardens of jannat are still very, very far. Gardens of jannat are still very, very far. Person has to live in this dunya. He has to go through this dunya, the difficulties of this dunya, 60 years, 70 years, 100 years, whatever time he has in this dunya. And then, so long he has to be in the qabr. People have passed away from the time of Adam al-Islam, how many thousands of years they in the qabr. And we also have to go into the qabr. And we don't know how long before Qiyamah will take place. And then after the day of Qiyamah, then will be Maidan-e-Hashar, Hisab, Kitab, reckoning for a person. Allah make it easy for us. So easy we're talking about it. But it's not a simple matter. Will be, on that day will be reckoning for a person on the day of Qiyamah. And one day of Qiyamah, somewhere is written 50,000 years. 50,000 years. So then will be Maidan-e-Hashar. And then finally when a person, he passes Sirat, then he will go to Jannat. So we agree, we accept that the gardens of Jannat are there. Lekin arif jo hai, wo khaliq Jannat ko dil mein liye hue. But a person that he's an arif billah, he has recognized Allah Ta'ala, he's got Allah Ta'ala in his heart. He has got khaliq Jannat, the creator of Jannat, he's got currently in his heart. So Jannat is still far. You got Allah, you got Jannat, the creator of Jannat in your heart. What is greater, Jannat or the creator of Jannat? So Allah Ta'ala is much more greater. Jannat is nothing. All the ni'mat of Jannat in his place. But Jannat is nothing in comparison to the creator of Jannat. So a person that is connected to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he's got all this. So that's what he's saying, that a person all the time, every moment of his life, he's worried about making Allah Ta'ala happy. Yani puri zindagi ka har lamha, shariat ke mutabik ho jana hai. That when Allah Ta'ala is happy, what does this mean? This means that every moment of your life was now be in accordance to Shariat. Every minute, every second of our life will now be according to Shariat. Person that is in business, now he'll be worried that every transaction in my business must be in accordance to Shariat. And there are, you get those people also. That every transaction they do, they'll first phone and they'll find out that I'm doing this transaction. Is this transaction in order? I just want to get the go ahead from you. Once you say it is in order or it's not in order, if it's not in order, how can I correct it? How can I rectify it? So his business also must be according to Shariat. And if there's a masla of inheritance, some land got sold somewhere in the world and now the money has come in, so they also, the distribution must be in accordance to Shariat. Allah Ta'ala must be happy. My life must be according to Shariat. My relationship with my family members must be in accordance to Shariat. Not that somebody I've cut off with and somebody I'm befriending. Somebody that I'm not supposed to be talking to, I'm talking to them. So it shouldn't be that type of a relationship. My relationship with my neighbors, this must be in order. Everything must be in order. Or as it says, he says that a Sufi, a person that has become Ahlullah, the friend of Allah, his eyes is not only on the arsh, his eyes not only on top, his eyes are down also. That he is worried, is my trouser above my ankle? This is the law of Shariat, the trouser has to be above the ankle. That is my trouser above the ankle. When I'm standing in the saf, then is my saf straight, or I'm standing behind or front, I'm not in line. Is that in order? As a person that wants Allah Ta'ala, all these things he is conscious of. Once Hazrat Hakim Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi Hazrat explained to us, whatever I hear, most of the things, this is what we learn from our Hazrat. So, on one occasion, Hazrat Hakim Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi, he came out from the masjid and he went into the Khanqah in Pakistan. So, when he went into the Khanqah, the carpets of the masjid, these carpets were in the Khanqah. So, Hazrat got very upset. This is when your life comes according to Shariat. He got very angry. He says that this carpet, under the masjid carpet, it has been made waqf, it has been given to the masjid. So when it is the masjid carpet is given to the masjid, how can it be brought here? How can it be used in the khanqah? That must be used in the masjid. Something that is given for the masjid, you can't take it in a madrasa. Something that's given in the madrasa, purely for the madrasa, that can't be brought into the masjid. So he said, how can it? This is how conscious he was. Many a time he would see the small children and the little kid, their trouser will be below the ankle. Now what will they say? It's a small child now. What you gonna worry about the little child? So we're not going to worry about that little child. But Hazrat will tell that, call the small child also. Tell, no, pick up your pants. Pick it up. It must be above the ankle. It can't be below the ankle. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, it was known about him that when in India, those days they used to travel mostly by train. Now more is by car. So anyone that comes to the railway station and they will go to now weigh their luggage. So normally people try to get away because who wants to pay for that extra luggage? Couple of kilos extra, they want to get away with it. But the followers and the Murideen of Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, they will make sure they go and they will get it weighed. And the people that were working in the railway department, they knew. They would know that this person that has come, he's got taluk with the Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. So one day Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi came. Hazrat also went to weigh his luggage. Because he is not above the rule also. So he went to weigh the luggage. So the person that was standing behind the counter, he knew Hazrat. So he said, don't worry, carry on. So Hazrat told him, no, I got to go. Just now I'm going to go into the train. And I'm going to have a problem there. Because if they weigh it, then I will have to pay. So he said, no, don't worry. The person, the conductor or whoever is in charge on the train, I'll tell that person to take care of you. So Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah said that I have to go to a certain point, then that person, that conductor is going to get off. So I got to go further than that. So that person said, no, don't worry. I will tell the conductor that when the new conductor comes in, he mustn't trouble you. He must leave you. So Hazrat said, no, I got to go further than that also. He said, way further than that. Then the train is going to come to the final destination. It's going to stop over there. So that conductor that comes on, he will be with you till the final destination. Hazrat said, no, I got to go further. I got to go to Allah Ta'ala. I got to go to Allah. And I have to answer in the court of Allah Ta'ala that you robbed the railway department. You didn't go and weigh the luggage, you robbed the railway department. Now what about that money that you have stolen? Today many a time we get sometimes queries coming in. One company, they sent a query. They said that we have it was an industry, it was a factory. So he's saying we are in the industrial area. So he says all the industries. Now this person, he has some consciousness. That's why he put this query. He says that all the industries in this area, They are all stealing electricity. And he says, if you don't steal electricity, you cannot compete with your competitors. Your price, you won't survive in the market. So now he wanted to know whether it's permissible to steal that electricity. How can it be permissible? That money that you save, if your electricity bill is supposed to be 1,000 rand, and you tampered with the meter, and you brought that electricity bill now to 500 rand, so how much you saved? 500 rand. That 500 rand is haram. That's haram now. You stole the electricity company's money. Now that 500 rand that you saved, it is now mixed with your halal money. So you got halal and haram. So all your money is now contaminated. So what will you do? Throwing away complete deen, which as I spoke about yesterday about the stomach. That one lukma of haram that goes into the stomach, 40 days a person's ibadah is not accepted. 40 days. And that is when the income is not in order. How many people, telephone company, how many people rob the telephone company? Electricity is an everyday thing. So these things, a person that wants to reach Allah Ta'ala, you can't reach Allah Ta'ala if these things are not in order. Your business is not in order. Your life is not in order. Your treatment to others are not in order. How can a person get to Allah Ta'ala? So all these things have to be rectified. On one occasion, one Khalifa, Mawla Thanwi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he came to the Khanqa. So he came with his son. So look now, Hazrat, how he is to make Islah of his murid. And his gaze was on everyone, everything. So he came with the son. We would have said, MashaAllah, MashaAllah, bring the child, give him sweet, everything. Hazrat asked the question, he said, this boy that you came with, that how old is this boy? And how much did you pay for his railway fare? Now the law in India at that time was, under 12, half ticket. Now also, many places you go for under 12, sometimes it's free. Or sometimes you pay a less rate, half the rate for the under 12. And over 12, you pay adult rate. So he asked the question, he said, how old is he and how much you paid? So he said, Hazrat, he is over 12. He's over 12. But when you look at him, he's so small, like he's under 12. So how much ticket did you pay? Hazrat, I paid half. He said, you robbed the railway company. He said, I gave you ijazat. I'm taking my ijazat back. You can deceive in dunya, in matters of deen also you can deceive. So see how particular they were. In all these aspects, they were very, very particular that everything must be up to date. A person when he's at home, then at home, mashallah, we all Sufi. Everyone knows us in the masjid. Everyone is so pious. Everyone knows us in our locality, in our hometown. Now that same person who is so pious at home, we're talking to ourselves, Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, we in need of it most. At home when we're so pious, now a person, he goes out on holiday. And when he's on holiday, now he punctual with his namaz like how he is at home. Is that 5 times namaz now being read when he's on holiday? Is there a difference between the two? When he's on holiday, is he still wearing that kurta or now the kurta is gone? The ladies when they go on holiday, even the parda is gone. That is why we taught a dua that when a person undertakes a journey, he goes on safar. Allahumma inna nas'aluka fi safarina hadha al-birra wa taqwa. Allah, we ask you in the safar of ours, righteousness. Why? Because where we're going, nobody knows us. Nobody knows us, so we can get away. And if it's overseas, all the reason more. Because now it's foreign country. So in foreign country, nobody knows you. But Allah knows you. Allah knows every one of us. Allahumma inna nas'aluka fi safarina hadha al-birr. Allah, give me the tawfiq of doing righteousness like when I was doing at home. Wa taqwa, and give me taqwa there also. Wherever I'm going, Allah grant me taqwa. Wa min al-amali ma tarda, and let me do those amal, those deeds that will make you happy, O Allah. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi mentioned, he says about the aeroplane, that how much of wrong takes place in the aeroplane also. How many times a person is sitting on the aeroplane, he's pressing the button, he's calling the air hostess. He doesn't need anything from the air hostess. Now he's getting enjoyment from talking to her. So he's pressing the button and he's calling her. And then, sometimes it happens that because it's an aeroplane, it's a public service, you're sitting there, and somebody comes and sits next to you. There's a female that comes and sits. You have no option in the matter. You have to sit there. Now a person is looking for opportunity now to start that conversation. So how much of wrong takes place in the aeroplane also? And where do we know that person whether he's going to reach his destination or not? Now that Boeing, two of them crashed. The whole Boeing industry is finished, so to say, at the moment. And there's so much of pressure. How many people have lost their lives? Families are crying. So many people. Just 5-7 minutes of takeoff, finished, down to the ground, 160, 170 passengers gone. So a person that's in the aeroplane also has just wrote a poem. He said, Main jahan bhi rahun, jis fiza mein bhi rahun, میرا تقویٰ ہمیشہ سلامت رہے. میں جہاں بھی رہوں, ویزا لف جس فضا میں بھی رہوں, وچ ایور انوائرمنٹ, ویدر آئی ایم ان مائی مسجد, ویدر آئی ایم ان فرنٹ آف مائی شیخ, ویدر آئی ایم ان دی ایروپلین, اور ویدر آئی ایم ان اندر کنٹری ویئر نو بڈی نوز می, میرا تقویٰ, مس تقویٰ آف مائن, دس مسٹ بی انٹیکٹ. آئی ہیو ٹو آنسر ٹو اللہ تعالیٰ. اللہ تعالیٰ از دیئر. On one occasion, Hazrat Hakim Sahab Rahmatullah was sitting in the aeroplane. When he sat in the aeroplane, he took out the in-flight magazine, the magazine that's in the seat. So he took that out. And when he opened it, there was a picture of a lady there. And those book magazines are all filled with those pictures. So Hazrat Murid were in the plane also. He called all of them. He said, come here, come here, come here. All of you all come here. So they all came. They sat down there. What he says? He said, publicly, normally, person did a sin, nobody knew about it. You make Tawbah secretly, finish between you and Allah Ta'ala. You don't have to go and tell anybody. You're not like Christians, you have to go and confess and tell them I did this wrong and that. No, between you and Allah. But publicly he told all of them, he says, see, I opened this magazine. And see, I saw that Allah give me the tawfiq, all of us the tawfiq. He says, see, I opened this magazine and I saw this picture. I make Tawbah publicly in front of you, I'll never ever open the inside magazine again for the rest of my life. So this is the taqwa. So that's what Hazrat is saying here, that every moment of our life must be in accordance to Shariat. When the tasawwuf, when we'll tread this path, when we will get that connection with Allah Ta'ala, then every aspect of our life will be corrected. Because Shariat haqqa, mizan-e raza-e ilahi hai. He says, because the Shariat is actually a scale to measure the happiness of Allah. That how much am I pleasing Allah? According to how much you act upon Shariat, according to that you are pleasing Allah Ta'ala. And the less a person acts on Shariat, that much he is displeasing Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Mukhtasar, ye ke nisbat ka matlab dawa mein zikr aur dawa mein ta'at hai. He says that in short, that the meaning of this nisbat, we are talking about nisbat, that connection with Allah Ta'ala. So he says nisbat is, a person is perpetually in the zikr of Allah and perpetually in the obedience of Allah. Once a man's got nisbat, he's always in zikr also, always in the obedience, always worried, Allah Ta'ala must be happy, am I obeying Allah Ta'ala, or am I breaking the command of Allah Ta'ala? This is his concern. And the zikr that is referred to, here he doesn't refer to zikr al-lisani, that is always in verbal zikr. Here when we're talking about that a person is in zikr, it means that a person is in the obedience of Allah. When he, for example, is eating, that is also done in accordance to Shariat, that became zikr. He went to business, now that is, kafir also goes to his shop. You go into your shop also to work. But you make your niyat correct. I am going to earn my risk, my halal livelihood. I don't want to earn haram. I want to feed my family. So many niyats a person can make when he goes out. I will give my zakat. I will give charity. Somebody is in need, I will assist that person through my business. According to the amount of niyats you're going to make when you're going to work in the morning, that is how much thawab a person is going to get. So that will also become the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Dr. Abdul Haysab Arifi rahmatullahi alayhi, he beautifully mentioned, he says that just change the angle of things. Something is a thing of dunya. You just change the angle little bit, and that which is dunya will become deen. For example, you're going to buy a car. So car is what? Dunya. But now when you went to buy the car, you just changed the angle little bit. You said, Allah, I'm buying this car I will use to go and read my 5 times namaz. This car I will use to go to the khanqah, I will use to go out in jamaat, in the path of Allah Ta'ala. This car will take the jamaat in this. This car, if somebody is stranded, they require assistance, I will assist that person with this car. Now look, where you started taking your niyat, in all good works. So that which was dunya became deen. All you had to do is just change the angle a little bit. So that is how easy it is. In everything that we do, look at it from a shari perspective. And change the angle a little bit. That which is dunya will become deen. On one occasion, Khaja Aziz al-Hasan Madzub rahmatullah alayh. So Khaja Sahib, he was sitting with some friends and they were having some light-hearted conversation. So everyone was laughing because it was light-hearted now. They were joking a little bit. So everyone was laughing and what we'll say, rolling on their stomachs also. Rolling with laughter. So this happened for about 1 hour. After 1 hour of sitting and enjoying themselves, now what we would say, this is something that's got nothing to do with deen. So then Khaja Sahib, he asked those that were sitting there, he said, tell me, after they finished, he said, tell me, in this 1 hour, who was conscious of Allah Ta'ala? This is nisbat. Who was conscious of Allah Ta'ala? So everyone said, none of us. We were laughing, we were enjoying ourselves. Hazrat said that even for one moment, my heart wasn't ghafil and negligent of Allah. That even in this laughing of ours, in our enjoyment also that we were here, He says, my heart was connected to Allah Ta'ala. I was explained to us one time they were in Turkey. They went to the qabr of Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh. So with Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So he said that they went for a boat ride. So he says that after some time I was explained, he says that whilst we were on the boat, so I looked for Hazrat Hakim Sahib. So he said, I couldn't see Hazrat. Where's Hazrat? I couldn't find him. So he says, I went to the bottom section of the boat. So when I went to the bottom section, Hazrat was sitting alone over there. And then he told me, he says that sometimes when you make zikr, then you get tired also. Person all the time he's making zikr, now he needs a rest also. We human beings at the end of the day, a man he reads tilawat, makes tilawat of Quran, comes to a point where he gets tired, then he rests a little bit, then he continues again after a little while. So he says you get tired. So he says at that time when you get tired now of making the zikr of Allah, he says then too you don't stop. He says what you do now, you take your finger and on the nail now, you write Allah on the nail. So at that time also you're conscious of Allah Ta'ala, your connection is with Allah Ta'ala even at that time. Many a times Hazrat says that in the middle of the night, person he wakes up in the middle of the night. Now you wonder why you woke up, why was my sleep disturbed all of a sudden? He says Allah Ta'ala is remembering you. Allah is remembering you at that time, that is why your sleep was disturbed. We'll say no, there was one bark or one car went past or something. Every day it happens also, but you don't wake up. On that particular occasion you woke up. So at that time, sometimes a person, it's difficult for him to wake up, to go and make wudu, to now come and read two rakats of namaz, it's difficult. At that time even, a person in his heart, just make dua. Just make dua in your heart at that time. Whatever your need is, that is the time of tahajjud, that's the Mubarak time. So that time also connect with Allah Ta'ala from your bed. You don't have to get up from your bed. From your heart now, whatever dua, whatever need you have, make dua to Allah Ta'ala. So this is the meaning of nisbat, that a person is continuously in the remembrance of Allah and in the obedience of Allah. Ulama have also mentioned this much. They say that how does a person know that whether he is got love of dunya in his heart or love of deen in his heart? They say easy way to work this out. They say when there is deen and dunya together, and now you have to make a decision, which option, what are you going to give preference to? He says that will answer your question. Easy way to work it out. You're running your business, and at 4:30, you know that is a very busy time because customers and people are going home from work. Now everyone is going to come and purchase from you. Now on a particular day, you are alone in the shop, and the Asr Azan was called. So are you going to say that let me keep the shop open because this is rush hour? Or are you going to say that let me close and go for the Asr Salah? So he says, if you gave preference to the Asr Salah, you're a man of deen. You got deen in your life. You got love of deen in your life. And if a person at that time, he said, no, let me leave it open now. And I'll read my Asr Salah at a later stage. So he says, this is the indication you gave preference to dunya, you got dunya in your life. Love of dunya is in the heart. Sir. So ulama say this is one way of working it out. So anyway, khair, he says, مختصر, یہ کہ نسبت کا مطلب دوا میں ذکر اور دوا میں طاعت ہے. اور تمام طاعت میں سب سے مہتم بشان طاعت نماز ہے. From amongst all the acts of worship, of obedience to Allah Ta'ala, the most important of all obedience is salah. جس کا اثر تمام برائیوں سے بچانا اور زندگی کے ہر شعبہ کو عبادت بنا دینا ہے. He says, what is the effect of this namaz? When a person will read namaz, the effect of namaz, it will protect him from all evil, which we already discussed. It will protect a person from all evil. Evil. If guna was in your life, guna will come out. That sahabi was reading namaz at night, in the day he was stealing. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, tell him to read namaz, carry on. That namaz is going to stop him from stealing. So it will stop you from all evil. And every department of your life, every aspect of your life, through this namaz, it will now become ibadat. You will become conscious of Allah Ta'ala. جس کی تفصیل قرآن و احادیث میں آئی ہے. The explanation of this has been mentioned in Quran and Hadith. Many of them we have already discussed in detail. اسی لئے روز محشر میں سب سے اول نماز ہی کا حساب ہوگا. It is for this reason that on the day of Qiyamah, because namaz is so important. Namaz will change your life. Namaz will make Islam of a person. It will rectify a person. The first thing to be questioned on the day of Qiyamah will be the salah. نماز کے فضائل اور اہمیت علماء اور مشایخ ہمیشہ سے تحریر فرماتے چلے آئے ہیں. The fazail, the virtues of namaz, and the importance of namaz, the ulama, the mashayikh, always, they have written a lot about namaz and the importance of salah. اور اس میں ہمارے حضرت شیخ رحمت اللہ علیہ کا بھی ایک رسالہ فضائل نماز بہت ہی مبارک اور مؤثر ہے. And he says one little booklet is that of our حضرت شیخ رحمت اللہ علیہ. the Shaykh Ulama Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhim, Fazail Amal, where he's got the chapter of Fazail Namaz. So he says, this is a very blessed and very effective chapter, that what our Akabirin have written, just by reading this, see the effect on your life. Person opens Fazail Sadaqat of the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhim. Read Fazail Sadaqat. And then see the effect of Fazail Sadaqat. Just reading that kitab, what an effect it has on the life of a person. These kitabs have the potential of changing the life of a person. But on condition, a person with ikhlas, with sincerity, he does these things. Or namaz ke zahiri masail kutub-e fiqh mein darj hai. And the masail of namaz, the outward form of namaz, this is all written in the kitabs of fiqh. This has been documented. اور مختصر طور پر اردو میں رسالہ تعلیم الاسلام اور بیشتی زیور میں تمام ضروری مسائل کا بیان ہے. And he says very briefly, the Urdu booklet, one is تعلیم الاسلام and the other is بیشتی زیور, in which all the necessary مسائل of salah, this have been covered there. Which بیشتی زیور is done over here as well. So you do all the مسائل in that kitab and تعلیم الاسلام as well. So these مسائل that are there, this is the outward form. For example, a person, he wants to put water in something. He can't put the water if he doesn't have a container. You must have a container first. If you have a container, you can put water inside also. If you have that container, if you want to put a sandwich, you can put the sandwich inside also. But first you must have a container. Then you can put in everything. Like for example, a woman, when she conceives, when she falls pregnant, then first is the formation of the body. Every 40 days, we find there is a change. In the growth of the child. When 4 months and 10 days have now ended, now the formation of the body is completed in 4 months and 10 days. After 4 months and 10 days, now the ruh, the soul, is now put into the body. So if you don't have a body, what you going to do? Where you going to put the soul? You can't put the soul anywhere. You need the body first, then the soul is put in. So exactly the same way, first you must have the outward form of namaz. You must know how to make salah. When you know how to make salah, now the ruh, now the life of that namaz, now you learn that and put that life, and now see what is the difference of that salah. Lekin Quran aur Sunnat mein iski bhi wadahat hai ki namaz ke tamam fazail aur zindagi par iska asar haqiqi namaz, yani baru, khushu aur khuzu wali namaz se hasil hoti hai. He says that this has also been written in the kitab of hadith. And in the Quran Sharif, he says that all the virtues that have been mentioned for namaz, if you read namaz, this is what you'll get. And namaz has the effect on the life of a person, it will change a person. He says, which namaz will have this effect, that it will change your life? For which namaz is there a promise for all the virtues that have been mentioned in the hadith? He says, that namaz that has concentration, and that namaz that has devotion in it. Not just a person comes and reads namaz and he's gone. When it is read properly, then you will get all those promises. When you read that namaz properly, then it will change the life of a person. One sahabi came into the masjid and he performed his salah. After he performed his salah, he made salam and he got up. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called him. He said, Salli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go read your namaz. You never read your namaz. So sahabi went back. He read his namaz. Again he read namaz, he made salam and he started coming out. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called him, he said, Salli fa innaka lam tusalli. Same thing. Go read namaz, your namaz not done. Second time he went. Third time. On the third time he said, Ya Rasulullah, arini wa allimni. That now you show me how to read namaz. I don't know how to read namaz. You teach me how to read namaz. I don't know how to read namaz. So see, Nabi Alayhi Islam could have taught him the first time. He could have said, Bhai, come here. See, this aspect of namaz is not in order. Correct your namaz. He could have told him the second time, but three times he let the sahabi go and come back. What was the reason for this? That now when he said, Ya Rasulullah, you show me, you tell me, you teach me how to read namaz, now the desire was created in him. Somebody doesn't have the desire, you can teach him and teach him, it's going to make no effect whatsoever. Why? Because the desire, the shock is not there. When a person got the desire, now he will do it. For example, here in the Madrasa Yard, there's a gardener. So maybe that gardener is working in the Madrasa Yard for how many years? Maybe last 20 years, 30 years he may be working over there. But students have come in 6, 7 years, they've become ulama, 7, 8 years, they've become muftis, they've become qurra, they've graduated and they have gone. But the gardener got no shock. So he won't get anywhere. Many, many have graduated and gone. In Darul Uloom Dioban, there's one person that is stipulated. His job is to connect the mic. The mic for the Shaykhul Hadith. Darul Diyoband, sometimes 1,000 students are sitting in the lesson of Hadith. So his job is to connect the mic. Now that person that is now connecting the mic, he switches it on, switches it off. He has to be there for every lesson. Now imagine if this masjid is full, and maybe there's 500-600 people that are sitting here. If the imam reads from here, the person in the back can't hear. And if it's outside the glass door, finished, out of the question. So that person has to be there. If something goes wrong, he has to connect it immediately because so many students are listening. But he's there for maybe last 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Those students are sitting, he's sitting in the same class. But he doesn't get standard of hadith. He hasn't become Maulana. Why? The shauq is not there. The desire is not there. So this sahabi also, when the desire was created, Nabi says, now I'll show you. But as long as the desire wasn't there, there's no benefit now in showing this person. Then Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi explained to him that see, ta'adil arkan was not found in your salah. Where a person, for example, when he goes into ruku, all the limbs of the body must come to a complete standstill. Like for example, if I move my hand like this, now my hand has come to a complete standstill. Now I can move it again. So when you go into ruku, all the limbs must stop. Then Sami Allahu liman hamida. This is where there's negligence. When he says Sami Allahu liman hamida, then Allahu Akbar again. Person just says Rabbana lakal hamd, Allahu Akbar. So many a times there's no ta'adil arkan there. And between the two sajdas, because between the two sajdas there's nothing to read. Although they are du'as, but we'll do it later on somewhere. That those du'as are more for the nafil namaz, not for the faras salah. So there a person comes up from sajda, he comes Allahu Akbar and he's gone into the next sajda. So there's no ta'adil arkan. This ta'adil arkan, where all the limbs must come to a complete standstill and stop, this is wajib in salah. This is wajib. And intentionally a person leaves out that wajib, that salah has to be repeated all over again. So then Nabi alayhi salam explained to him that there's no ta'adil arkan in your salah. Sahaba say that because of this particular sahabi, we learn properly how to read salah from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says that this is a salah of khushu or khuzu. Jis mein ihsan ki kayfiyat, yani an ta'bud Allah ka annaka tara ka manzar ho. He says, which is the salah of this concentration, devotion, this khushu, that inner connection with Allah Ta'ala? It is that salah in which there is the quality of ihsan. What is ihsan? He explains this in this hadith where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that when you make the ibadat of Allah, you must make ibadat ka annaka tara, as though you can see Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And if you can't make ibadat that way, though Allah is in front of you, فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاك. If you can't see Allah, then Allah Ta'ala is watching you. Easy way to understand this, if a person is working for a boss, so when the boss is there, what happens? All the employees there, all on their toes, everyone is working. But when the boss is not around, boss is gone, everyone is now relaxing. Everyone is now taking it easy. The ustad is in the class, all the students are working. But the moment the ustad walks out, finish, the noise starts now in the class. Because the ustad is not there. So when a person is conscious that I'm reading namaz, Allah Ta'ala is watching me. Every movement Allah Ta'ala is watching. Now how won't this person perform his salah? He will be very, very particular about his salah, that I'm reading properly. When Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he had built Baytul Muqaddas. It was the jinnat that built it. But under the supervision of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Now when the boss is there, everyone's going to work. So the jinnat will work. So Allah Ta'ala made it such. Sulaiman alayhi salam passed away. But when Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam passed away, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam remained there. Although he had passed away, he remained there reclining on his asa. So when the jinnat are looking, Sulaiman alayhi salam is here, he's watching. But in reality, he had already passed away. Quran says, فَلَمَّا قَضَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْتِ. When we decreed death upon Sulaiman alayhi salam, مَا دَلَّهُمْ عَلَى مَوْتِهِ إِلَّا دَابَّةُ الْأَرْضِ تَأْكُلُ مِنْ سَآتَهِ. That nothing indicated upon the death of Sulaiman alayhi salam. He was standing there, he's got his asa, he's standing there as though he is watching. Nothing indicated upon his mouth, except that there were some termites that in the bottom of the stick of that asa. Now they started eating, the termites started eating from the bottom. So they ate. When Baytul Muqaddas now was completed, Masjid Aqsa was done, the termites had ate now to that extent. So the work was done now by the jinnat. So they ate to the point where the stick fell. And when it fell, then Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam fell. Now they realize Sulaiman alayhi salam passed away. Had passed away long ago. فَلَمَّا خَرَّ تَبَيَّنَتِ الْجِنِّ. When he fell down, now it became clear to the jinnat. أَلَّوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ الْغَيْبِ. In those days, people had this misconception that jinnat have knowledge of the unseen. So because they had this misconception, Allah Ta'ala showed it to them here. That if أَلَّوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ الْغَيْبِ, if they had known of the unseen, مَا لَبِثُوا فِي الْعَذَابِ الْمُهِينِ. they wouldn't have remained in this disgraceful, in this humiliating punishment, where they would have carried on working and working, they would have also stopped and taken a rest long time ago. So jinnah don't have the knowledge of the unseen.